Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be. A walking study.
Hello, and welcome to episode 19 of the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network, Southern California's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team here in Southern California and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? Yep, it's me and Kent again. We're on remote talking via computer and phone, so we're here to bring you some more reaction from the Ducks last week. Things are slowing down because of the All-Star break, I believe, right? They don't have a game for another almost a week.
Yeah, they had a pretty long layoff, but a nice couple to head into the break with.
Absolutely. So how you been doing, Ken? Everything good?
Things are good, yeah. Yeah, we're busy, busy things at the coffee shop, and yeah, everyone's back feeling good again at the Huskins house, so it's, yeah, things are good. How about yourself?
Same. Just got off some guests visiting for the last few weeks and watched the conference championship games in the NFL last night. So I'm doing well. Happy to get back to work.
Yeah, nice.
So today we're going to break down the Nashville game. There's something which happened, man, almost a week ago now. Some interesting storylines there, and then Carolina as well. And then we'll talk Golden Knights firing Gerard Gallant, which was pretty surprising. I think we'll both agree, right?
Yeah. I was completely surprised by that. I mean, I guess I don't follow them that closely, but they weren't even really on my radar as anyone that would be a possibility for, but I guess you never know. And if you're watching the team closer, maybe this is something that was a little more expected, but I mean, the job he's done since they came in, it's pretty tough to argue with, but I don't know. I guess they've got a pretty good lineup. And if they feel like after, we'll call it the favorable expansion draft terms that they had, while they still are kind of have the benefits of that situation in place, feel like this is the time is now. So I guess that's what I take away from that. But and I know I never played for Pete DeBoer, but just still knowing a lot of the guys up in San Jose over the past few years since playing there. I know he was highly thought of and a well-respected and well-liked coach. So sometimes it's not a knock. It's just trying to get a fresh face in there to hopefully catch on to something and ride the wave of success the rest of the year. I'm sure they're open.
Yeah, I have a theory about it. It's probably not the entire reason. I know they had dropped a few games in a row and were out of playoff position, but I think with the Raiders coming to Las Vegas next season, I think. And the fact that there were so many good coaches available between DeBoer, Laviolette, a lot of guys who had lost their jobs recently who hadn't been hired. I think Vegas probably figured it was the right time, if there was one, to make a change. Because, I mean, if you miss the playoffs this season, the Raiders are going to be the first professional team playing in Las Vegas next season. They're going to start before the Golden Knights. So I think that probably played a role. They were probably desperate to keep that momentum going from their first two seasons. And the NFL is a pretty big juggernaut to contend with, no matter how successful your team's been. I mean, it's the biggest sport in America, and it has so many parallels with sports betting and just it's pretty much tailor made for Las Vegas. So I think they felt some pressure to make sure that they didn't fall out of the out of relevance in the city, even though it would be hard to imagine considering the role they've played in the last two seasons.
Yeah, those are some interesting storylines there. That's funny. It shows you how in the loop I am with the overall sports world. I didn't even know that the NFL was going to Vegas. So, yeah, I think that that definitely would make sense. And the fact that if they've dropped a few in a row there, I guess, yeah, all makes a little more sense now knowing all that.
It was pretty surprising, I think, to see that happen. But let's get into the Nashville game. So the Ducks beat Nashville for the second time this season. It was the first of two wins back-to-back, and that's the first time when you combine that with the Carolina win that they'd won back-to-back games since November 1st. So things starting to look like there's a little bit of momentum being generated. We'll see how it goes. But what did you think of the Nashville game?
Yeah, that's a tough building to play in. I know their team isn't the same as it's been maybe the last three or so seasons, where they've just been a powerhouse and kind of basically for the most part unbeatable at home. And it's a great atmosphere, one of the best in the NHL, and it's always a tough place to go into. And and you're just kind of trying to weather the first little bit and then kind of see if you can get one or two points out. But yeah, I thought it was a good performance. Like, the boys looked good, kind of attacked the game, and got some good contributions. And there's a lot of positives, I think, and it's nice to see some things finally go their way and get a result for all the hard work.
Absolutely. And we had Chase DeLeo playing his first game of the season for the Ducks. He's a native of La Mirada, California. So I think I saw a quote today where he said he was shaking when he got the call up, even though it wasn't his first NHL game for the Ducks. It's definitely a big milestone. I know you've experienced, but and then playing in your own hometown, basically, I mean, that's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, those calls, that was the best. You waited a long time for those, and yeah, I'm sure it had to be a special moment for him. And that was great to see. I mean, the great old player. He's got some awesome, some unbelievable speed. I remember some of those preseason games watching him out there. I mean, he absolutely fly. A great year in San Diego last year, so it's great to see him get an opportunity. You love those. I always kind of, especially having been in that position for a good point in time during my career. So always happy for guys. That's a big moment, even if it is for just one game or two games or however many. It's never any less special, that's for sure. So good for him.
Whenever I hear DeLeo's name, I'm reminded of one of the more embarrassing moments in my short sports journalism career.
I'm curious about this story.
Yeah, so I was doing a story on a local he's a coach now, but he was a local guy who played in the WHL and played in the ECHL. His name is Tyler Maxwell. He coaches a lot of youth teams here, and he has like a skills camp and stuff like that. Nice guy. So during the story, I was over last summer. I went down to – he was running like an off-season skate with a bunch of NHL players and pros, and there are a bunch of guys there. I thought Chase DeLeo was there because he's local. I think they knew each other. He had long hair. He had kind of he had Jets practice gear. So I was like, oh, okay, this has got to be Chase DeLeo. So I'm watching the practice. Greg Patterin was there. Alex Alexiev, who was the first round draft pick of the Capitals a couple of years ago. Jonathan Blum, who played a little bit of time in the NHL. It was a pretty good crew. Sorry.
Yeah,
it was a good crew of pros and some Division I players. But afterwards, I was in the locker room trying to get some quotes, basically about what they thought, why they chose to skate with Tyler specifically over the summer, and kind of what value that his skates brought. And I was going to interview, ask who I thought was Chase DeLeo a question. And I was like, all right, so if you could just tell me your full name and who you play for. And he goes, Brendan Lemieux. And I kind of laughed. I was like, no, you mean you're Chase DeLeo? He goes, no, I'm Brendan Lemieux. I was like, that's funny. Cause I didn't know who Brendan Lemieux was. And I heard the last name Lemieux and I was like, oh, he's pulling my leg. He's using like a fake name. So I just kind of laughed and I was like, stop messing with me. And he's like, no, I'm Brendan Lemieux. And I was like, oh. And the other guys are in the locker room, like kind of looking at me like, what is this guy doing? And so I was like, whoops. So it turned out it was Brendan Lemieux, now of the New York Rangers. I must have been bright red. I was so embarrassed because he had kind of, I mean, we've seen him play now. Brendan Lemieux is a little bit of a shit stirrer. And so he had that same kind of cocky look on his face. And I thought he was messing with me. And so I was like, oh, this guy's just, it's Chase DeLeo. But it turned out it was Lemieux. And I think about that and I cringe every single time I hear both of their names.
Oh, yeah, that's classic. Yeah, the old classic mix. We know the Lemieux well. So, yeah, they're great people, and he's a great guy. And yeah, he's had an awesome season there in the Rangers. Yeah, loves stirring it up, getting in there, and good player, hard nosed players, fun to watch. Just love players like that.
Absolutely. And to his credit, he was patient with me. He didn't rip my head off or call me an idiot or anything. He just must have been thinking like, what is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the Nashville game. So a couple interesting goals. Manson gets his first goal of the season, so that's got to feel good for him, finally breaking through off a very nice pass by Andre Kasha. So it was good to see that. I thought the goal that stood out to me, not to bring a negative thing back in here, but the microcosm of the Ducks' problems the whole season, the goal that Henrique scored on the power play where there's a nice low pass across the kind of switching sides during the power play. Raquel one times it, but kind of doesn't really get it right. And I think it wasn't Rene. It was their backup was in goal. Who's pretty good. I feel bad that I'm blanking out on his name. Saros, Juicy Saros. Yeah. So Saros makes the save and luckily it squirts through and Henrique's able to put it in. But I mean, that type of pass and one timer on a lot of teams with that kind of sniper goes in. So I thought that was an interesting, it's good to see that the Ducks are doing better on their power play and that did go in, but I was kind of surprised to see that it didn't go in right off the stick of Raquel.
Yeah. I used to hate that as a penalty killer. That's like the one thing you never want to let happen is that cross ice seam pass. It just opens everything up. The angle kind of changes so drastically and the goalie has to go side to side. And with all that movement kind of opens up holes. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's why the guys that can put the puck in the net get paid so much money. Cause it's difficult to do. And that's, you see kind of Ovechkin so often just kind of wires those. And, but I mean, I think a lot of it's just kind of shot volume too. I mean, you see him on the highlight, get all those goals from the kind of half wall one timer, but I mean, a fair amount gets stopped or missed the net too. We just don't see those on the highlights, but it's just kind of getting the reps and getting those attempts up and kind of doing it by volume. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was, he got pretty good, decent wood on it.
Saros made a great save.
Yeah, I say Saros came across and it was a great push to come across and got a piece of it. And then I thought that was a heads up, kind of one of those, never quit on the play. Type of plays by Henrique, just kind of heads up because I don't know, it looked like everyone kind of let up thinking that Saros kind of had it or admiring the save or whatever, but just to kind of go in there on the off chance that something happens, that a heads up play, and then you just saw the puck kind of pop out the back just a couple of inches and enough for an easy tap in. But yeah, I mean, that's, I think, yeah, it's a tough job, that goal scoring. I certainly was definitely not an authority on it. I can speak to how tough it is, but yeah, I would definitely love to get a sniper. That's no doubt there.
Yeah, I think everybody would. And then our guess who? Derek Grant comes back right from injury and scores yet another shorthanded goal. I mean, that was great to see him score again. Get back on the grind after being off with such a long injury. And it was pretty much a classic Derek Grant goal, if we can call it that at this point. I mean, he read the play really well, jumped in, got a breakaway, and then went the forehand, backhand between the Saros' legs. So it was a great goal on Grant's part.
Yeah, all around there. I think another guy who I think has been really good this year, doesn't necessarily get a lot of credit or fanfare, made another good play on that goal. Kind of, it seems to be kind of his MO is Carter Rowney, just kind of an under. It does a ton of dirty work all over the ice. And on that one, yeah, awesome to see Grant pick up right where he left off, another shorty. It was great to see how fluid and comfortable and smooth like his skating looked, like picking that puck up, going in front on a breakaway. And he looks like he hasn't skipped a beat, which is great after that much time off. And a slick move. I go in the old big shot to the back end, slide a five pole. And man, that's an interesting comment by Brian Hayworth watching the replay on what Saros is doing with his stick. I mean, it'd take a goalie to kind of really dissect that and pick that up. But it's funny how that move works, and it's basically success rate is pretty much dependent on how well the goalie uses their stick coming across to either, if they're out of balance or misuse it, kind of case in point like that, it just leaves the five hole wide open as they're sliding across. And I think that would have to be probably one of the most frustrating moves as a goalie to get beat on, because it's just like you're there, you're pretty much right on top of it, and it slides right between your legs. But Carter, back to Carter Rowney, you're at the blue line, just makes a great kind of little battle play, kind of unnoticed, subtle, just kind of wins a battle on the boards, and just kind of knocks the puck off the wall in an area where Grant can swoop in and take it in on a breakaway for a goal. So those guys have been getting it done all year. So another good play, and yeah, just great to see Grant back in the lineup after he's having such a good year, and to lose time to an injury, but to come back and pick up like that was awesome.
And then we had the new defensive pairings there, and we saw the pairing with Manson playing with I think it was Fowler, and then you mentioned Lindholm and Gudbranson. So how did you feel about those pairings?
I mean, I think sometimes as a D, it's like the same mentality as when the forwards kind of pick and choose, when the coach picks and chooses when things kind of tend to get a little stale sometimes, and you just need a spark, and you'll still have your core lines that you're going to go to for the bulk of the 80-game schedule. That's kind of the blueprint or makeup of the team. But every so often, I think, if it just shows signs of getting stale, or just to shake things up a bit and see if you can find some chemistry elsewhere, even if it's only for 3 to 5 games, I think it's, it's not going to hurt. I mean, I think if, just kind of freshen things up and get some guys playing with some different guys and then see what happens. I think, what do you know? Josh Manson scores that nice goal. As you mentioned, a great pass, which kind of, it took watching the slow motion replay to really appreciate how good that pass, how perfectly threaded through like 3 or 4 sets of legs and sticks that pass really was. And you saw Manson when he scored, he kind of, anytime you see that, when he, you kind of see the reaction of the guy who scored, looks for the guy who made the pass, and you can like say, what a pass. And you can see Manson say that. That's how you know it's something special. And you can see on the replay what a great pass that was. And great play by Josh to put that up kind of right under the bar. And that was interesting that they were mentioning it was just, the drought was over, the first goal in 70-something games. Just surprising to me because I know he's a big physical defenseman, but I mean, he does have skill too, but I think, especially these days as a defenseman, it's basically points are so correlated to power play times. A defenseman, I mean, 5-on-5, the coverages are so good, you know, 99% of the time. Every once in a while, there'll be a breakdown. There was a pretty significant one on the Branson goal against Carolina, but that's rare to see. So it's just not a lot of room out there, 5-on-5, but yeah, to see him sneak down backside, good time to go down there, great pass, and yeah, happy that the drought is over, because yeah, I mean, it's not like he's strictly he's not a plug defenseman. I mean, he's a good player, he's got some skill to his game, so hopefully that kind of gets the monkey off his back, and some of those point shots can find their way through traffic, or he can continue just kind of getting up in the play and see what happens.
Before we continue, let's get a couple quick ads from our sponsors. Support for Believe comes from Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. That's right, you wouldn't want to use a weed whacker down there like the guy outside my house right now trimming the bushes. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. Start the new year off right by using the best tools for the job. Your nuts will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code BELIEVE. Want to make a bet on the Super Bowl? Head over to mybookie.ag to make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted sports books in the industry. Football not your thing? No worries. MyBookie's got it all, from the NBA to the Premier League. MyBookie has the fastest payouts, best promotions, and a very helpful 24/7 customer service team. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if your deposit is $2,000, you'll get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do is use your promo code BLV to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code BLV to get your extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid. And speaking of that Gudbranson goal against Carolina, speaking of the Gudbranson goal against Carolina, the Ducks get their second victory, like I mentioned, in a row, first time since November 1st, and Gudbranson plays a big part in that. He ties his career high of 4 goals. He's 5 away from his career high in points off the assist from, I believe it was Ryan Getzlaf, found him right open. You mentioned the defensive breakdown 5-on-5 that Carolina fell victim to, but Gudbranson buries it when he gets the opportunity. He's having one of his, I mean, like I said, his best goal scoring season, and might have his best point season altogether. It looks like, I mean, he kind of has, or I might word this a different way. you in your career had some seasons where you definitely were way above what your normal output was. How does that feel? Yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to, that's not meant as a slight, but I mean, you had
no offense. when you're having a career year and it seems like, yeah, you're just kind of, way above your average, and, it kind of definitely happened to me, like in the minors as well. Like when you have those seasons where the points are just going in, and I don't know, like that was always a good bonus. I remember the year after we won the Cup, with Anaheim, I mean, there's a lot of things that can go into it. Like, I think I was put in a lot of, obviously, favorable like spots to succeed on the ice and a lot of kind of favorable matchups, and had a great partner that year. It was Joe DePenta and Matthew Schneider, who was like a all-world defenseman, like incredible player. So I think it was my best year, one of my best years point wise and plus minus wise and all that stuff. And it was just one of those years where everything kind of tends to go right. And I think as a defenseman, unless that's a part of your game and that expectation is there, a lot of it's kind of one aspect of your game, but not as important as it is for forwards. I think on the whole, like, they kind of look at your, for my role on the team, it was more about the kind of all around game that was important. Like how I was handling my own zone was as important, if not more important than the points I was getting. But yeah, I mean, I think when you have those years where things are going well, you're kind of like putting stuff towards the net and you're getting a good balance here and there. It's not that you're necessarily, your level of play is that much better, if any, than usual. So, I mean, you're still the same player that you've always been, but you'll chip a puck off the glass and it'll land on someone's stick and they'll go in and make a play and score a goal. So you get those nice second assists. As defensemen sometimes always love those. And just a few extra of those. And just a lot of things kind of come together to make that happen. But as a defenseman, I would think it would kind of be similar for Branson, where it's more about his entire game and the points are just kind of a bonus.
When you were in San Jose, you had another good year, 3 goals, 19 assists, 22 points. So I'm curious who your D partner was that year.
Oh, it was JD. It was Jason Demer is my boy. Yeah, we had a great season. We had great chemistry. We were roommates on the road, and that team was so stacked too, the San Jose team that year. I mean, talk about chipping a puck out and landing on Jumbo's stick or Pavelski's stick, or like we just had a great team that year. So as we did in 2008, so that that stuff always helps the cause. But also with San Jose, that was kind of a bit of a change where it was basically didn't matter which defenseman you were, kind of first or sixth, or you're the seventh defenseman coming in. Everyone kind of had a responsibility. Because before on other teams, like as far as getting up in the play, guys would have the green light. You always kind of hear that. Would you give them the green light? And it was kind of like, kind of leave it up to you as players to get up in the play, and everyone kind of understood their role. Whereas when we went up to San Jose, it didn't matter. Like I said, if you were the first defenseman or the seventh defenseman, everyone was expected to get up in the play and join the rush. It was kind of like that was part of their system and that was built in. So it's almost like that was as important as tying up a guy's stick in front of net. If there was a turnover of the puck, you were automatically, you had to get off the ice. That was a part of the system. So that was, Todd McClellan. That was a cool way to play. And they had a lot of success.
Yeah. I mean, I think I remember that season, that year, or I remember more the one afterwards with the way the playoffs went, unfortunately. I apologize. it just watching the Sharks, I know we've gotten off the rails a little bit, but watching the Sharks, especially in that era, you could tell that everybody had bought in, and it was an interesting and fun brand of hockey to watch.
Yeah, it was fun to play in too. It's cool. I was very fortunate. I got to play for, four or five unbelievable coaches, and each one kind of taught me something different about the game. So yeah, I was definitely lucky in that sense. But yeah, the San Jose years were fun. They were great.
Before we continue, let's talk about sleep. We need 8 hours of sleep. One of sleep's biggest problems? Temperature. It's tough to get good sleep if you're too hot or too cold. It's our pleasure to introduce the Pod by 8 Sleep. The Pod is a high-tech bed designed specifically to help you achieve optimal sleep fitness. It combines dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking to enhance your rest and recovery. It learns your sleep habits and adjusts the temperature automatically. It can adjust the temperature for two people sleeping in the same bed, which is pretty cool, and you can have both at the same time. In a crazy comfortable bed. For the next week, get $200 off your Pod and a free gravity blanket for a total of $500 only at 8sleep/pro. That's eight sleep.com/pro. 8sleep.com/pro. Want to make a bet on the Super Bowl? Head over to mybookie.ag to make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted sports books in the industry. Football not your thing? No worries. MyBookie's got it all, from the NBA to the Premier League. MyBookie has the fastest payouts, best promotions, and a very helpful 24/7 customer service team. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do is use our promo code BLV to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code BLV to get your extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid. So let's just wrap up the Carolina game. I thought the defense played pretty well, not just offensively, but only allowed 11 shots in the final two periods in overtime. Sam Steele gets the game winner, which was good to see. Had a nice breakaway, kind of contested breakaway goal that he flipped up into the corner. And then, like we said, fourth time all season, the Ducks won two consecutive games, and the first time since November. So some good signs there. Anything else you noticed from Carolina?
I know we just talked about it a little bit, but yeah, going back to the good Branson play, was a great play by Getzy there to get in on the forecheck, kind of win a battle, get inside position, kind of out hustle the defenseman, and then another phenomenal pass just to find good Branson streaking down the backside. That was a pretty blatant missed coverage, which you don't often see someone coming in that wide open off a basic entry where the guy kind of circles a third of the zone to find someone that wide open. But credit to good Branson there. If you want on one to be that wide open, some guys kind of freeze up. But he made a great move there. Like, that was a poised head up the whole way, kind of shot open up the five hole, and made no mistake. So that was a great play. The 3-on-3. Yeah, nice play there. I'm not sure who made – was that Silverberg who made the pass off?
It was Silverberg. It was off balance, kind of nice into space.
Yeah, that was an incredible pass right off the turnover, head up, and then to just kind of, zip it up to the neutral zone right on the tape. And, nice play by Sam Steele. He can get an experience in the 3-on-3, and then you see the upside of that offensive skill and – great shot to give him two straight heading into the break, which is, oh man, I wish I think everyone always welcomes the break this time of year, but when you finally kind of grasp something and win two in a row, I know you would have been great to have another couple before the All-Star game to kind of see where that momentum would have gone, but something good to good vibes and good thoughts and a good result heading into a couple weeks off. So hopefully they can recapture the magic when we come back.
Definitely. So let's get into the three stars. This week, it's going to be the three strangest things you've ever seen in a hockey game. And coincidentally, the NHL Network had like top 50 strangest plays just this past weekend after I'd already come up with the idea. And so I watched some of it, but my three still kind of stuck on my top three. But what were yours?
I was trying to think of three. The one that comes immediately to mind, and it's funny, we were just talking about San Jose teams, was my second year in San Jose. So that was the year Vancouver beat us in the conference finals and went on to that epic series against Boston. But the game-winning goal in that series, I remember I was on the ice floor and the puck, I think it was double or maybe triple overtime, and the puck came into the zone or it was off a faceoff or something, and I think nine guys on the ice, like the puck went up into the glass and nine of us on the ice had no idea where the puck was. I thought the puck was up in the stands and everyone was kind of looking around. No one had any idea where the puck was. And then all of a sudden I just see the red light go on. Everyone starts going crazy. And I'm just kind of looking around at like to see where the like refs were. Like, that can't be a goal. Like, what just happened? And everyone was, there was just mass confusion. Not till after the game was over, you kind of get in the locker room and take a look at what happened. And it looked like it hit a partition in the glass and took this crazy carom bounce and was just kind of bouncing awkwardly on the ice. And Kevin Bieksa, I think, was the only person who had any idea where it was. And he said he was just trying to basically get something on net, because I think even the goalie, Niemi, was looking around. Like, none of us had any idea where the puck was. And so, Juice just took a one-time kind of nine iron at it and skipped this puck just kind of end over end wobbling one-timer. I think it kind of scooted in five hole on Niemi, and then of course the place just went nuts. But none of us had any idea what had happened. So that was that was a weird one and a tough way to lose a series, for sure.
Yeah.
But that was probably the weirdest NHL one. The second one, let's see, it was one, it didn't happen on the ice though, but that was this one time we were in, playing for the Ducks farm team in Portland in playoffs against the Bruins in Providence. We were going to Providence. Our bus broke down in like the middle of a snowstorm in the middle of nowhere. And then we had to stay in this like roach motel with, I don't think they had to, like, the rooms didn't have heat. So it was all in these like disgusting rooms, but it was the only place we could stay within like 50 miles or something like that. So we basically had to walk through snow. It was a crazy night, but we ended up winning the series the next game. But that was
That might have been in my home state of New Hampshire. I mean, if you were going from Portland to Providence, that might have been in my home state of New Hampshire or maybe Massachusetts.
Yeah, somewhere in there, yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. That was interesting. I always have stuff like that happen in the minors there. Always lots of interesting stories from those days, that all good stuff. And then talking about one of the the weirdest slash funniest things I've ever seen in a hockey game would have to be one of my buddies back in junior hockey in the Ottawa area. I know some of my buddies listen to podcasts back there. Our buddy Jake Gamble was playing junior B and got called up to play junior A in Cumberland, which is a kind of suburb of the Ottawa area. And so I went to watch him play because he just got the big call up to tier two junior A. Yeah, so this is one of his first games, and he was just always a little Tasmanian devil out there, and just always stirring things up. He's a good player, but always kind of driving the opponents crazy. And he had, I think, was in a scrum, and I think speared a guy. Punched a guy in the head, and half the other team was trying to get after him to kill him, and he was kind of like the refs were in there to break him up, and as he was skating away from the scrum with like four guys trying to get after him, he grabbed the other team's goalie's water bottle off the top of the net, started drinking out of it. And then threw it on the ice. And then there was pretty much a line brawl at that point. But, he made a big impression, old Gamble, that night. I think he had a good stint with Cumberland there. And, we loved him. One of our good buddies, the Gambler. So that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen at a hockey game. So those were my three. Well, how about you?
All right, so I had a whole bunch, but I tried to make them more personal. I've got a couple honorable mentions that I'll mention at the end, but the first one, or the third place, which isn't necessarily funny, but I was doing a play-by-play for the USC club team last year against UCLA, and one of the USC players got his arm sliced down to the tendon, like his wrist, and you could see the blood pumping out of it, like every time his heartbeat, you could see the blood pumping out into the ice. And so everyone was like, oh my god, people were like trying not to vomit. The kid ended up being okay, but they had to stop the second period early, clean up the ice. They actually one of the players for USC's dad was actually a team doctor for the Sharks, or was at one point in his career, and he was there and helped the guy out. So he's okay. He's now the captain of the USC team. So he's back and healthy and playing, but that was definitely bizarre in a horrifying way. The second one, which is funny, was second place. When I was a senior in high school, my last season playing at the public high school where I grew up in Hanover, we played in the quarterfinals. The team that was one of our huge rivals, they hated us. Our town was kind of seen as the like hoity-toity rich town, and they were like the working class town, and so they hated us and they always wanted to beat us, and we put a real beat down on them in the quarterfinal. And the game got out of hand, they started getting kicked out of the game, one of their players got sent to jail. Like it was the story is much longer, but at the end of the game, it was our final game as seniors in our home building, because the rest of the playoffs were in neutral sites. And so we did the senior skate, and I have this like vivid memory of a girl who could not have been more than 4 years old for the one of the opposing fans giving me the middle finger. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Like I did a double take. I was like, that is awesome, but also what the hell? And then the last one, which I always look up on YouTube because I think it's hilarious and miraculous and everything, is the Alice Hemsky goal for Edmonton back, this is probably 10 years ago now, maybe 15, where they were playing the Stars. Patrick Stefan had a wide open goal. He was just kind of skating, kind of trying to tap it in, and he caught an edge or something and kind of fell backwards, and the Oilers picked up the puck and rushed down the ice, and Hemsky scored as time expired to tie the game. So that is one of my favorite bizarre moments from the NHL. I always love that YouTube, because just the Edmonton play-by-play guy loses his mind.
Yeah, that's gotta be up. That had to be up there on that countdown. And it's like, as soon as you saw him miss that, and Edmonton get the puck, you just kind of, you knew that that puck was going in somehow, some way. It was just, that is one of the strangest plays I've ever seen. It was crazy.
Yep. But is there anything else you want to add, or are we all done for episode 19?
Yeah, I think that's it. I know. Bree and I are watching The Bachelor before this, so I got to get in and see what I missed.
There you go. You probably missed a whole, that's like 3 hours long. Man, that is a long show.
Yeah, I got to go see who got the roses here.
There you go. Well, I'll leave you to it. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
2020. A new year. It's the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/begin makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to more than 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes and finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlighting the top candidates so you never miss a great match. It's so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/begin. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEGIN. ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.